God's idea. I don't really care how you got here. I don't care if you had two parents, one parent. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You were still an idea in the mind of God, and you were a good idea. You were the one that God said, I've chosen this one to exist at this time to be an answer for the world around you. You know you're an answer. You're not a mistake. You weren't an accident. And I don't, listen. Sometimes parents say bad things. And they say, you know, life would have been better if I didn't have you. Or they say something ridiculous. Can we be real? Like there's some real bad things that get said about kids at different times. But you know what? I don't care what mom or dad said. You were not a mistake. You were God's idea. Somebody tell your neighbor, you were a good idea. You were a good idea. If you have your Bibles with me, turn to Psalms 123:1. Psalms 123:1. This was the verse that stuck out to me as I was preparing. We're talking about adoring God. Psalms 123:1. If you're there, say amen. Oh, we got a couple more. I hear pages flipping. You guys don't let those digital Bibles in here, do you? That's awesome. Because then I can hear when you get there. Because you hear like, shh. If you're there, say amen. All right, we got a bunch of them. Psalms 123:1 says, I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. We keep looking to the Lord our God for his mercy. Somebody say, keep looking. Come on, man. When it's hard in life, keep looking. When you're going through a really hard season, keep looking. Look intently. I was asking the Lord. I said, Lord, I need an analogy. And the Lord said, oh, that's going to be easy. When you guys are at lunch or sitting at the table, you guys are diligently watching each other's elbows. You sit there and you keep looking. I remember one year Gertie said, the director of the camp will be 5,000 points. I don't think I ate a stitch of food. I was just locked. I'm getting him. You know what? I needed points. We kept looking, right? And the kingdom of God is like that. He says, fix your eyes. Fix your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes upon him and keep looking. He's the one seated on the throne. And what are we looking for? His mercy. Keep looking for mercy. Somebody say mercy. Come on, the Bible says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice. I desire mercy, for mercy triumphs over judgment. Hallelujah. So what are we looking for? We're looking for the mercy of God. We're looking for where he came and where he made a difference and he changed some things, right? So he says, I lift my eyes up. And then in the next verse, I don't really like the analogy, but it's in the Bible, so I got to go with it, okay? But it says this, just like servants keep their eyes on their master, or as a slave girl watches her mistress or the owner for the slightest signal, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus for mercy. Keep your eyes fixed on him, looking carefully, intently, the way that you watch the elbows of those other counselors, the way you watch the elbows of the directors. Keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. What are you looking for? Mercy. You're looking for mercy. Somebody say mercy. All right? So we're looking after mercy. So here's the reality. There are two kinds of truth that we can look into. There's two kinds of truth. And you're like, wait a minute. Right? In this day and age, sometimes they tell you there is no truth. Now Daryl's up here telling you there's two kinds of truth. There's two kinds of truth. There's a truth that is true. And then there's a truth that will set you free. Come on. Come on. Did you know there's a truth that's true, but it won't set you free? And then there's another truth that's just, it's like more true, and it will make you free. See, there's a truth that says that I was speeding, right? I was driving in my car, and it was true. I was speeding. I was going down the road too fast, and the cop pulled me over, and there was another truth. He said, I'm going to let you go with a warning. See, that was a higher truth that set me free. Do you understand that? So there was true I was speeding, and I probably deserved punishment, but there was a higher truth that came in. There was mercy. Do you see the mercy in the story? Okay? So come on, follow me now with Jesus as God creates mankind, and he creates Adam and Eve in the garden, and he says, I want you to, you can eat from any tree in the garden. It's a good garden. It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's paradise. But there's one tree in the garden you can't eat from. And they go, and of course they eat from the tree, right? We all know the story. They eat from the tree, and we suddenly start looking for the judgment of God. I want you to stop, and I want you to look for the mercy of God. I want you to look for the mercy. I want you to know God. I want you to gaze upon God and look continually for his mercy. Look for his heart. Look for the mercy of God that's in the story. So go with me for a minute back into the Garden of Eden, and we see that they've eaten from the tree, and many of us get told a story that sounds like this, that God was so angry, he kicked them out of the garden. What if God wasn't so angry he kicked them out of the garden? What if he was so merciful that he had to move them to save them? So if we go to Genesis chapter 3, God says, hey, look, there's another tree in the garden. Do you guys know the name of the other tree in the garden? There was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that they ate from. What's the name of the other tree in the garden? The tree of life, the tree of eternal life. Somebody say eternal life. It says God looks and he says, look, man has fallen. And if they go back into the garden and they eat from the tree of eternal life, they will live forever as fallen human beings, and they will be unredeemable. Because what was in the heart of God? The desire to redeem you. The desire to restore you. The Bible says that Jesus was crucified. I'm going to blow your mind here, your little scientific mind. Jesus was crucified before the foundation of the earth was laid. In other words, it was already in the heart of God before he created you that he said, I would be willing to go to the cross and die for them. So when they sinned and they ate from the tree, God said, hold on, we can't have eternal life because then my son couldn't die and take the price. He says, so we need to move them out of the garden, put an angel at the door. He says, come on, he says, look intently. Look intently. Look at the story. Find the mercy of God. For God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Sometimes we get this idea in our minds. Well, let me back up. I'll share this with you. I was at work the other day. I work at a car lot, mechanic's garage. And I get a customer who comes in. And this customer, he's like always got a potty mouth, right? He's always cussing. His car smells like weed. Like you get high just driving in his car, you know? And then he's delinquent on his child support and brags about it, right? I mean, the guy's pretty despicable, okay? Can we just be honest? He's not a good dude. But he comes in on a regular basis and strikes up conversation with me a little bit. And I stop him the other day and I said, Joseph, what does God think about you when he looks at you? And Joseph, wow. And he's like, I don't know. I said, yeah, you do. What does God think when he looks at you? He's like, I used to be an altar boy. And I was like, that was not the question. What does God see when he looks at you? He says, I guess he sees a failure. And I said, Joseph, you want to hear some good news? He's like, yeah, I need good news. You know why Joseph was cussing and swearing? You know why Joseph wasn't paying his child support? You know why Joseph was getting high every day? Because he believes that God has written him off as a failure. And when you've been written off as a failure, you need to go find something to fill the void in your heart. But I said to Joseph, I said, I got good news for you. I don't care how many times you've gotten high. I don't care how many times you've used his name in vain. I don't care how many times he's got kids with multiple women and doesn't pay the child support and grumbles and complains about it. I said, none of that matters. I said, Jesus loves you, and he's never stopped. I said, you cannot sin enough to change God's mind about you. You can't change his mind about you. See, somewhere along the line, I said, I explained the story of salvation, explained what happened in the garden, and I explained a little bit of the prodigal son, and Joseph looks at me and he says, I've never heard that amazing story in church. I said, bro, me neither. Right? I said, God's revealing his mercy. God's revealing his grace. God's revealing the heart of God, that he never changed his mind about us, not once. I heard somebody say the other day, they said when Jesus died on the cross, he wasn't taking an angry God and getting an angry God to change his mind about you. He said he was dying on the cross to get you to change your mind about God. See, what if Adam and Eve left the garden? They were like, man, God's angry with us. We're out. We're out on our own, man. He cut us off. I can't believe this. We're going to have to do this thing all by ourselves. And they had the wrong concept of God. And God comes and says, no, I need to change your mind about me. I have the same heart for you I had from the beginning. I have the same desire for you I had from the beginning. I never lost sight of your value. I never lost sight of your purpose. I never lost sight of your identity. I never lost sight of you, son. I didn't care how far you ran. I never lost sight of you. And if you look at the story of the prodigal son one day tells his father, he says, you know what, Dad, I wish you were dead. I can't wait for you to die. Give me my inheritance now. And the father gives it to him. And the boy wastes it, runs off, goes out, spends it with all kinds of nonsense, gambling and women and whatever else, right? And he's got all kinds of friends while he's got money. And then it says a famine hits and he's got nothing. And he finds himself feeding pigs, which in the Jewish culture was like the biggest no-no you could get, man. And this guy is so broke, he's not eating pig food. The Bible says he's wishing he could eat pig food. He is so broke that he's wishing he could eat the food the pigs are eating. And all of a sudden it says in that story, it says that the man came to his senses and he said, I'm going home. I'm going to go home to Dad. I'm going to tell him I'm not worthy to be your son anymore. I'm going to tell him. And it says he came to his senses. Somebody say his senses. He came to what made sense to himself. Follow me here. He came to what made sense to himself. He says, you know what? God, my father's never going to accept me back. I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy enough. I should just go and ask to be a hired servant. I'm not good enough to be his son. I'm not good enough to be his daughter anymore. I'm going to just go back and I'm going to ask if I can be a hired servant in his house. At least then I'll have food and a bed. Because that is all I'm worth. And that's what made sense to him. And some of you have thought that same thought. Some of you have done that. You've said, you know what, God, I'm probably not worth ever being used by you because of what I did. And what I wasted and what I did over there and what I said to that person, and I'll probably never be used by God. I'm not worth it. But you know what Jesus did? It says when the boy started his return home, he didn't make the boy run home. It says he ran to the boy. The father was looking for him a long way off. It says when the boy started home, the father saw him and was running to him, went running to him, fell on him. And it says he began to plant kisses all over the boy. Where had this boy just been? With pigs. You think Jews know what pigs smell like? Yes, I bet they do, okay? And that's not a slur. That is a reality. They weren't allowed to be around pigs. They weren't allowed to eat pork. They weren't allowed. It was a rule in the house of God. And they come, and this man, the father of this boy, falls on him and begins to kiss him. And the boy says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. And the father cuts him off. And he says, I don't need to know all that you've done. He doesn't say that. I'm paraphrasing a little bit, okay? But he says, I don't need to know all that you've done. I need you to know how I see you. This is what the father said. He said, put a ring on his finger. Put a robe on his back. Put shoes on his feet. This boy needs to know that he is my son. And he made a loud announcement, and he said, get a party going, for my son, who was dead, is now alive. My son, he says, you need to see yourself the way I see you. That's what God was saying in that story. He says, I'm a good father. I'm a good father. You guys know the story of Joseph? Where Joseph gets sold into slavery? And he goes from being down in the prison to being second highest in the kingdom because he interprets a dream. And when he's second highest in the kingdom, Pharaoh gave him three things. Anybody know what they are? He gave him a ring, he gave him a robe, and he gave him a chain. And he reminded him, you're still a slave. And Jesus takes the story and he parallels those two stories when he does the prodigal son. And he says, the father's not a Pharaoh. He's a father. And he's more concerned about you knowing and understanding your sonship. He's more interested in you knowing the love that God has for you. He's more interested in you understanding the great love that God has for you than he is about you knowing all that you've done wrong. Know the goodness of God. Chloe, can you come up here and hold this blackboard for me? My Chloe. I don't know. There could be another one here. Hallelujah. All right. So a lot of times, you know, you get together with youth. My wife and I have been working with youth for 20 years. We just celebrated 20 years. Hold it up nice and high. And when we get together with youth and we ask, open up the question. Here we go. We open up the question and we say, hey, what do you guys want to talk about? What do you want to know about? Whatever else. And the youth often come up with this question. Where's the line? You guys ever ask that question? No, no one's going to admit that. Where's the line? Where's the line of sin? Show it over here too, Chloe. Where's the line of sin? Which side am I on? Am I on the good side or am I on the bad side? And when we tend to really be introspective about ourselves, because the more we look at the line, the more we know about us. And we look at the line and we try to identify where's the line. And sometimes we try to get close to it without crossing over, right? But you know where our eyes are set when we're doing that? Our eyes are set down. Our eyes are set down at where's the line of sin? Where's it drawn in the sand? Where's it drawn in the ground? How close am I getting? But my eyes are facing down. And the Bible says that I need to look up. I need to fix my eyes. I lift my eyes to you, O God, enthroned in heaven. And we lift up our eyes and we begin to look at heaven. And we always ask the question, you know, did I cross the line? Did I cross the line? Did I do something that was too wrong or too evil? Maybe I can't go back. Maybe I did something that can never be restored. Maybe I did all this stuff. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you want to write this down, you know what? Turn in your Bibles with me. Turn in your Bible with me. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. Are you there? Say amen. Oh, we got a good group this time. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 14. It says this. It said, but the people's minds were hardened. And to this day, somebody say, to this day, wherever the law is being read, the same veil covers their minds so they cannot understand the truth. Wherever the law is being read, the same veil covers their minds and they cannot understand the truth. You remember I said there's two truths? There's a truth that's true and then there's a truth that sets you free. There's a truth that maybe I crossed the line, but there's a truth that sets me free. But the Bible says wherever the law is read, wherever we focus on the line, wherever we focus on whether or not I messed up, wherever we focus, it says a veil is placed over our eyes and we cannot receive the truth. Which truth is it? It's the truth that sets you free. That's the one you can't receive. When you're focused on yourself and you're focused on the law and you're focused on whether or not, did I mess up? Did I? And you're constantly focused on that. We're constantly looking down and we're not lifting our eyes up to the Lord. It says then we're focused on ourselves. And it says, I cannot receive the truth that will set me free. Keep reading. Look at the next verse. And this veil can be removed only, somebody say only, by believing in Jesus. Somebody say believing in Jesus. See, when I try to qualify myself to come to Jesus, I can't receive the truth. When I try to look into the law and see if I'm good enough to come to Jesus, I can't receive the truth. But the veil is taken away when I put my faith completely in Jesus and I surrender completely to His will. And I say, Lord, I deny myself and my actions, my good enough, my bad enough, and I rely completely on You, Jesus. It says then, are you ready? Even today, when they read Moses' writings, their hearts are covered with that veil and they do not understand. Verse 16, but whenever someone turns to the Lord, somebody say turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away, for the Lord is the Spirit, and wherever the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. So all of us who have had the veil removed can see, somebody say see, and reflect. Somebody say, reflect the glory of the Lord. So when we fix our eyes on Jesus, when we fix our eyes on what He did, it says the veil is removed and we can see and reflect the glory of God. Do you see it doesn't say you produce the light? It says you don't produce the glory. You reflect the glory. See, He's the one, man. It's all about Him. When we focus our eyes on Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, when we fix our eyes on Jesus and we steady our gaze and we start looking for that mercy, right? Like a good servant, a good waiter, a waitress. My wife and I, one time, we went to Fogo de Chao. You guys ever know Fogo de Chao? Yeah, we got a couple Fogo de Chowers in here, okay? Fogo de Chao, let me tell you about Fogo de Chao. Fogo de Chao is all you can eat meat. Okay, they bring it out. They turn it on spits over the fire. It's a Brazilian steakhouse, man. You're watering right now. I can tell, right? And they bring it. You have this little coaster on your table that is red and green. Red means stop. Green means bring me meat, okay? And you flip it to green, and meat just comes. They have like 17 different kinds of meat or something like that, right? And it's just coming. It's like steak and sausage and lamb and, you know, all this stuff, man. And they're just cutting it off and putting it on your plate. It's amazing, man. It's really good, okay? It's amazing, right? Mouth-watering. Like when you leave, you have the meat sweats, right? Do you know what meat sweats are? Like you're ready to sleep for a month, okay? Anyway, it was amazing. One time we were at this restaurant, and they brought us all the cheap meat, but they did not bring out the expensive meat yet, right? Lamb is like some of the most expensive meat at the restaurant. And my wife said, I want to try the lamb. But we were stuffed to the gills. You understand? Like right here. That's about how full we were, okay? And my wife says, all right, I'm going to try it. Well, I want the leg of lamb. So she flips her card to green. And immediately, meat, like, you know, right, coming out of the kitchen. And she's like, no, 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 right? Don't want that. Don't want sausage. Don't want chicken wings. What the heck, right? I want lamb, leg of lamb. And this guy comes over, and he was attentively watching our table. And he came over, and he says, ma'am, are you looking for something specific? And she was like, I'd like to try the leg of lamb. And he's like, looks at the kitchen. He's like, wah, 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 right, whatever. I don't know what signal he was sending. Leg of lamb came out immediately, and they sliced it off. Why? Because they were looking intently to please that customer. The Bible says we need to look and fix our gaze upon Jesus, looking intently for the mercy of the Lord, looking intently for the grace of God. But when we receive, when we're looking at, this is truth, did I cross the line? Yeah. But you know what happens if we study the Ten Commandments? If we study the Ten Commandments, do we know more about God or do we know more about you at the end? We know a lot more about you, don't we? So when we study into the law, it says a veil gets placed over our eyes and we begin to know a lot more about ourselves than we do about the risen Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. So instead of asking, have we crossed the line? We should ask ourselves, are we in line with the cross? Are we in line with the cross? Do I see it on the cross? When Moses was in the desert, it says that they were complaining. And you guys know the story about the serpents came in and killed 30,000 people. You guys remember that story in the Bible? It says that they were getting bit, and Moses cried out to the Lord. He said, Lord, have mercy on us. And the Lord said, do this. I want you to take a serpent made out of bronze, an art piece, and I want you to put it on a cross or on a pole, and I want you to lift it up and exalt it up above the people, and I want you to keep it there. And whenever somebody gets bit, I want you to tell them to take their eyes off of the serpent and put their eyes on the serpent on the pole. Follow me with this. So Jesus was saying, or God was demonstrating with them, he says, when you've done wrong and the serpent comes in and bites you, what is the first thing that goes through their mind when a poisonous snake bites them? I'm going to die, right? They're probably not thinking, did I turn the toaster off? Right? That's not what they were thinking. They were asking them, I'm going to die, right? That's the end. And the Bible says, get your eyes off of the line. Did you cross the line? Yes, I murmured, I complained, and now the serpent bit me and I'm going to die. He says, take your eyes off the line and put your eyes on the cross. He says, and look at the cross. Look what's on the cross. You know what's interesting about that cross? It doesn't have Jesus on it. What does it have on it? It has a serpent on it. Why is that important? Because the Bible says when Jesus was lifted up on the cross, it says that the one who knew no sin became my sin. And they hung him on a cross. So where do I need to look when I sin? When I make a mistake and I see that I've crossed the line, and all of a sudden the enemy's coming in and he's saying, you crossed the line. You deserve death. You deserve to be punished. You begin to take your eyes off of what you did and see your sin in Jesus on the cross. And you say, you know what? I'm going to live. I'm going to live. Not because of what I did, but because of what he did. Did Jesus do a good work when he came? The Bible says that he came to seek and save that which was lost. What was lost? The image of the sons and daughters of God. He said he came to restore it. How did he restore it? He took the sin upon himself and nailed it onto a cross. He says, I need you to see your sin on that cross. I need you to see it. See that God is a merciful God, abounding in love, slow to anger, gentle and kind. That's who he is. He says, fix your eyes and study the scripture and see the mercy of God and say, God, I want you to show me who I am through the cross. It's not about did I cross the line. It's am I in line with the cross? Am I in line with Jesus? Am I down line from him? Is his blood that he paid on Calvary big enough to cover the sin that I committed? And the answer is a resounding yes. Because the Bible says when he was finished his work, he sat down at the right hand of the Father. And that verse there in Psalms 123:1 says, I fix my eyes, I lift my eyes to him, you, O Lord, who sits enthroned in heaven. Why is he seated in heaven? Because the work is done. He paid the price. It's a finished work. It's a good work. He didn't make a mistake. He didn't leave anybody out. The Bible says he is a good, good father. Slow to anger and abounding in love. The father in the story of the prodigal son made sure that his sons and daughters knew how much the father loved them. I want to give you an opportunity tonight. If you're here today and you're saying, Daryl, I don't know God. Maybe your parents made you come to camp. Maybe you came with a neighbor kid. And you're like, hey, you know, I just went to camp with this friend and I don't know Jesus. I didn't know that he died on a cross to get the sin off of me to reveal who I was. I didn't know that God loved me. I thought God was angry at me the whole time. I didn't know any of this. And you're saying today, Daryl, I want to come into a relationship with Jesus. You're saying, I want to know that I'm in line with the cross. How do I get in line with the cross? I accept what Jesus did. And I say, Jesus, I believe. How does the veil get taken away? By accepting Christ. I believe that you died on the cross. I see it. I see all my sin. I see the serpent that bit me. I see that I deserve death. But I see a serpent on a cross. And I see Jesus took my sin away. And my guilt is taken away. My sin is atoned for. It's been paid for. And it is no longer a part of who I am. I'm giving it to Jesus. I'm putting my faith in him. And I receive all that he has for me. What happened when those children of Israel looked at the cross? They lived. Guess what? There's life available for you today. There's life available for you. Some of you were serving Jesus. You grew up in church. But you know what? Your mind condemns you and tells you God changed his mind about you or cut you off or you're not good enough. Or remember what you did last week. We need to put our focus on Jesus, back on him. I want to give a first opportunity here tonight. If you're saying, Daryl, I don't know Jesus, but I want to know him. The first step to adoring God is to receive him into your spirit, to receive him into your heart, and to say, God, I'm going to start a brand new life. I want the old to be gone and everything to be made new. You said that the sin that bit me, that was going to cause my death, you said you would take it off. And you put it on your son. And I want to receive that tonight. I want to receive the life that comes from that. If that's you tonight, would you just slip up your hand right where you're at? Nice and high. Saying, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. Thank you. Anybody else? I want to know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Thank you. Thank you. I want to know Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Keep them up. Keep them up. Nice and high. Anyone else? Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Can you five? I think there's five. Can you stand up right where you're at? All of you with the hands up. Yep. Anybody else? Anybody else here tonight? Saying, I don't know Jesus. Thank you. I want to know Jesus as my Lord, as my Savior. I want to know that the snake that bit me is not going to cause my death. I want Jesus to take away everything and all the results of it. And I want to be made brand new. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we get the counselors to find these and just pray with them? They want to receive the Lord. Stay standing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Get some counselors around each of these. Take a moment. Just lead them in a gentle prayer of giving their heart to Jesus. Believing that Jesus is died and rose from the dead, and I see my sin upon Jesus, and I'm receiving salvation today in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for loving them. Thank you, Jesus, for drawing them into your presence. This is an awesome start to camp this week. This is an awesome testimony of the beginning of saying, God, do something in my life. And I believe each and every one of you is going to have greater and greater eye-opening opportunities this week to adore Jesus, to see him like never before. I'm telling you guys, he's not angry. He's not waiting to bring the rod down on you. He's doing everything he can to show you how much he loves you. He's doing everything he can to reveal his heart to you and that he's never changed his mind. He loves you with an unending love. Hallelujah. All those that are standing, can you repeat after me? Let's do it all together. Everybody together. Say, Jesus, I believe that you died and rose from the dead. I am taking my eyes off the sin that bit me. And I'm setting my eyes on the cross. I see my sin paid for. It's on the cross. All the wrath of God poured out on sin. The Bible says, whatever hangs on a tree is cursed. So sin hung on the cross, made of wood. The tree, it's cursed. I'm not gonna die. I'm gonna live. Because I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank you, Jesus. You are a good God. You never lost sight of me. You never got upset with me. You never forgot my value. You never forgot my purpose. You never forgot my identity. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Can we give a round of applause to these? Welcome. Welcome, brothers and sisters, into the family of God. Amen. Where we all, with one voice, celebrate and accept and receive the goodness of God and the love of God that He has for us. I have one last thing I want to do, and then we're going to wrap it up. If you're saying, Jesus, I want to see you like I've never seen you before this week. You know, angels in heaven never stop crying out, holy, 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 holy. The Bible says, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The angels never stop crying, holy, holy, holy. I heard one speaker, he said, he's holy in 3D. He's that good. And the angels never stop because they keep seeing a new facet of his goodness. They keep seeing a new facet. For all of eternity, they will never stop seeing a new facet. If they have never stopped crying, holy, 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 there's more for you to see. There's more for you to see. And if you want to adore God, we've got to see him in a way we've never seen him before. There's so much more. Gertie's been serving the Lord for I don't know how many years, right? There he is. Gertie's been serving the Lord for I don't know how many years. And you know what? He still sees fresh things about God. He still has his eyes open that make him fall down before the Lord and say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. We just got done celebrating. Rebecca and I, we celebrated not only 20 years of marriage, hallelujah, but we celebrated 20 years in the ministry, working with teenagers in Reading. And you know what I can tell you? The longer you work, the more you realize how faithful God is. Like, he's so good. He's so good. Some of you just started your walk tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Walk with him. He's faithful. The only way you know, I'm telling you, you can't figure out a 20-year faithfulness of God in 7 days. It takes 20 years. I envy people that know the 40, 50, 60-year faithfulness of God. They're so confident. You know why? Because they know he's faithful. He's good. Like, beyond the shadow of a doubt, man, they're just like, he's good, let's go, right? My pastor told me one time, I would come to him and I'd be all excited about a really good thing. I'd be like, this is amazing. This is what happened this week in youth group. Da, 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 right? We get all excited. And he'd be like, that's great. And then, you know, a couple weeks later or whatever, I'd be down in the dumps. And I'd be like, you never guess what happened, man. It was terrible. And he's like, Daryl, chill out, man. He said, God is faithful. He says, when you're down in the dumps, there's a mountain on the other side of the valley. I was like, yeah, that's good. And he's like, yeah. And when you're on the mountaintop, there's a valley on the other side of the mountain. And I was like, oh, dang it. And he's like, but knowing that allows you to walk faithfully with the Lord. And you begin to realize that God doesn't do that. Life does. So just start walking with Jesus. Just start walking with Jesus. If that's you tonight and you're saying, I want a new perspective of God. I want a fresh, eye-opening experience with God this week. I want you to stand on your feet right where you're at. You're saying, I want to know God in a fresh way. I want to know God in a new way. in Jesus' name. Just lift up your hands to the Lord. Say, Jesus, I surrender every way that I used to think about you. I surrender the walls of my thinking. I break them down. I want to know you in a clearer way, in a more real way. I want to know you, Jesus. I want to see you. Open my eyes to see your face, to see your heart. Show me your mercy. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Remember, it's not about crossing the line. It's, are you in line with the cross? You guys ready to see him? Amen. Hallelujah. You guys are going to have an awesome week. I know that.